Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net. Christopher Media, let's make some noise. Welcome to Beer Nuts, a weekly excursion into the world of craft beer, brought to you by MichiganBeerGuide.com. And now, here are the Beer Nuts.
Okay, everybody, welcome to another edition of Beer Nuts. This is JR from MichiganBeerGuide.com. Unfortunately, Chris is not able to be with us tonight. He's had several flight delays, but the show must go on, so it's... Happy to announce that Uncle Pete's back with us tonight, along with Dugout. So, I'd like to introduce Uncle Pete. Welcome back.
Hey, JR. Dugout, everybody.
And Dugout.
Hey, Uncle Pete, JR.
All right. So, tonight we're really happy because, as most of you know that listen to the show often, we are based in Michigan, and we are going to do this episode on Michigan IPAs, strictly IPAs from our native Mitten State. Well, native to some of us. Actually, Uncle Pete, you're probably the only native Michigander. Dugout and I are transplants.
Yeah.
But we are proud to make it our home now and proud to and happy to enjoy all the great beers in the great beer state. So with that in mind, let's invite everybody to crack open a cold one. Please join us. And as we always say, we're not pretentious or beer snobs. We just want to introduce people to new and exciting beers and expand your horizons. So whether you're a Coors Light drinker or a snobby aficionado, we have place for you at our table. So drink up. All right. So we always start off show with a quote. And since we're talking about Michigan IPAs, I thought this was a good one. And it reads, "You shouldn't drink beer before 5 p.m. unless you're from Michigan. They put that stuff in their cereal." And that's an anonymous quote. It's a meme going around the internet. And we embrace it. Anybody have their beer in their cereal lately?
No, I've had cereal in my beer.
Well, that counts.
Ba-dum-bum. Good one.
So I know that there's Arcadia makes the cereal killer barley wine.
And Kunin makes the whole series of cereal beers for Breakfast of Champions on St. Patrick's Day.
I can't wait to go to that again. That's coming up pretty soon. It's creeping up on us. Well, Dugout, I know you have a really good Michigan IPA to start the show off with, so why don't I turn it over to you?
All right. This is a this is from Ellison Brewing in East Lansing, Michigan. And this particular one is called You Can Get With That Juice. And it comes in a 16-ounce can. It's... 9% alcohol, so it's a double India pale ale, and I don't see any IBUs written on here, but I'm guessing that since this is a New England style IPA, the IBUs tend to run a little less, although you still end up with all that hop flavor in it. So I'm going to guess this is somewhere in the 60 to 75 IBU range on it. It pours kind of a hazy orange color, a little bit lighter than say solid orange, and really nice head to it that seems to dissipate fairly quickly. So the nose is get like kind of a piney and grapefruit and dank citrus and maybe some fruit like mango. And definitely some, you know, the citrus type of hops that really come through nice in this. It has sort of a medium body and a creamy mouthfeel to it. It's slightly sweet up in front, medium bitter, but it definitely has sort of that juiciness that is associated with New England IPAs. You get some real fruit flavor in there without any kind of fruit added into it. And that's sort of done through the brewing process where hops are done in dry hopping rather than actually boiled into the beer. There are some hops boiled into the beer, but most of the hops are added via dry hop stages immediately after the boil and then continue through the fermentation process and then a third dry hopping stage at the end. I think this beer is... pretty incredible for a New England IPA. There's a few of them going around Michigan now. I was happy to be able to stop by the brewery and pick this up. It's not in regular distribution yet. I think they pretty much sell as much as they make. So as far as getting it out to the masses, it's pretty difficult for them because they run out fairly quickly. It's a great little brewery. It's sort of in an industrial area where it seems to me where a lot of new breweries have been opened up lately, and you really kind of have to look to find, and you'd never expect to find a place to go drinking in these areas, but they are there. I found the place to be very friendly. It's kind of an interesting concept because the bar basically butts right up to the brewing area. So while they were cleaning tanks, everybody's getting sprayed with water, with cleaning water, and I mean, it's the real deal as far as drinking inside the brewery, but the bar just happens to be right inside the brewery. Very cool place. I don't know, have you guys had any of this?
I have not had that beer, but I've been to the brewery, and I really enjoyed my time there. I also believe they have a distillery running there, too, and on Sundays they have a Bloody Mary bar with their house vodka that they distill there. I went during the summer, and I discovered a beer there called Relativity that I really enjoyed, which I believe was like a New England-style double IPA, so something similar. Maybe this is a slightly different one that you're having, but I'd love to try it.
It's a different version of it. It's a lot lighter in color than the Relativity is, because I bought both when I was there. And had them compared side by side last weekend. But yeah, different flavor profile. I think the juice is a little more deceptive than the Relativity. You don't really taste that 9% on this beer, whereas the Relativity is somewhere around 8%, and you get the feeling that you're drinking an 8% beer. This is on the other side of the spectrum.
Oh, everything I had from there has been really good. So I think it's a really up and coming brewery, and you know, they're starting to distribute their 16-ounce cans, I believe. And yeah, so they're a brewery on the rise that you're starting to see their stuff on shelves. And from what I've heard, they don't last very long on the shelf. They hit the store and they disappear quickly. So if anybody in the state of Michigan listening, if you see this, I recommend grabbing it. It's not going to be around long. And if you're anywhere near East Lansing, you know, find the brewery, seek it out. It's a great destination. Thanks for digging that one out for us, Dugout.
Oh, my pleasure. Really, my pleasure.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. I really... really wish I could get a taste of that. I think, I can't recall if we saw Ellison at one of the recent beer fests. How long were they around so far?
I think maybe 2-3 years.
So they were at the fest. I think I'm looking at their list here, and I still this tiramisu stout. I think I remember having that.
Oh, yes.
At the fest.
Right.
Yeah. When I was on my, you know, got to hunt down every flavored stout I could find at the festival. But I'd love to stop in there at East Lansing and check them out. I haven't been to that one yet.
Definitely doing some great things.
Keeping the college students in town pretty happy, I'm sure.
Well, it was interesting when I was there. It wasn't really a real college crowd. It was more of a sort of an older local type crowd in there.
It is really cool.
I'm sure the college kids find it and come out at night.
It is really cool to be sitting. It almost it feels like you're just drinking in the brewery, because everything around you is, you know, vessels, and you know the brewery's right there, like dugouts.
Yeah, it's wide open.
So it's kind of like cool. Like you walk into the middle of the brewery and there's a bar in the middle, and you sit down and you know everything surrounds you. It's really a cool atmosphere there. All right. Well, I'm thirsty, so. I'm going to move on to the first beer that I have this evening, and it is from Latitude 42 Brewing Company in Portage, just outside of Kalamazoo, and it's called Party at the Moon Tower, double IPA.
Oh, I think I remember seeing that can.
It's a really wild looking can. It's got a lot of colorful on it. It looks kind of like a from the hippie generation,
like the Peter Max stuff.
And sort I believe I'm not a very big movie buff, but I think isn't there a movie reference with this beer? The Party at the Moon Tower, isn't that from Dazed and Confused? I'm going to need more of a movie person, because I'm almost positive there's a movie reference for this beer, but we'll leave that to the marketing folks and to maybe our listeners that are more movie tolerant than me, because while my wife enjoys movies, I enjoy beer more, and I don't get to see many movies. So this beer is, first of all, I want to thank Chris at Merchants, the beer manager at one of the stores I shop at in Dearborn, who recommended this beer to me. He highly recommended it, and this is about the third time I've purchased it, because it's a very good, one of the better IPAs I've ever had that are brewed locally here in Michigan. So this beer is it's got a very nice, healthy, white, really good lacing, nice, healthy white head on it. It's very clear. It's not hazy in any way like some of the New England styles. It's more of a traditional clear, very clear, very light, light orange in color. Not dark by any means. I get a little bit of grapefruit and pineapple on the aroma. So it starts out with a nice, mild, sweet malt base, then the citrus and a little bit of pine. The hoppiness creeps in, and I'm definitely getting some pineapple, grapefruit, mango, you know, that tropical fruit, maybe a little orange peel. And definitely getting a little bit of that West Coast pine style. So I'd say this is probably more of a West Coast style, with the totally clear. But it's got a fair amount of bitterness. I don't have an IBU rating on it. Check their website; it doesn't have it. Can doesn't have it. But I would guess it's probably 80 to 100 IBUs. It finishes off with a pretty nice dank hop bitterness, which is typical of that West Coast style. So piney, sticky, resiny, citrusy, West Coast style right here in Michigan. So let's see if I can find anything on the website about the very little here. No, it just says double IPA, 8.4% ABV. So they're going to want me to analyze it. I would be shocked if there's not citra in here. Maybe some mosaic, but quite nice, and definitely worth picking up if you see this in stores. Pete, you said you've seen it in stores?
I have. Where was I? I can't even remember now. I think as I was traveling a lot to Chicago and back, somewhere between here and Chicago, like the Kalamazoo area or something.
Well, it's got looking can. You can't miss the can. It's real colorful and...
Might have looks been like, Drake's from the Kalamazoo. I might have seen it.
Party at the Moon Tower, man. Oh, look, I finally found something on the can that describes further. This dankalicious double IPA is a party in a can, featuring Citra, Mosaic, Seven Seas, and Columbus hops that will make you want a party at the Moon Tower. Well, and I honestly had not read that before, and I got two of the hops, right? Citra is the most prevalent hop. And I've learned that Citra and Mosaic go together really well, and a lot of brewers use those two in tandem, and Columbus is probably the bittering hop. I don't know what the Seven Seas one is, but I'd like to find out. But it's a really tasty brew, and I was just in Kalamazoo this week and stopped by the Hopcat there. I'll give a shout out to Whitney, the server I had, who really provided great service. Great recommendations on the beers, and had a great time. So if you're in Kalamazoo, that's, I think, the third or fourth Hopcat I've been to, but it was one of my favorites. Great food there, too, and I tried several good beers, including our old friend M43, another great Michigan IPA that sells quickly when that hits shelves as well. So a lot of great things happening in Michigan with these with the IPAs of all different styles.
Sounds good. You say that was that brewery is near Kalamazoo, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's in
it's in Portage. But I was
Portage.
On that side. I believe it's on the south side of Kalamazoo. I think Doug probably knows the geographics better than I do, but I do believe I was within like 5 miles of the brewery where I was, and I blew it and didn't go there. I did visit Bell's, and I've made a stop at Gonzo's, Big Dog.
Oh, good.
So, but next visit for sure, I'm going to find these guys because this one's a keeper.
Well, and we had reviewed another beer of theirs early on in the show. It was for our Amber Ale episode, which none of us was really too thrilled about. But we had an Amber Ale from Latitude that everybody really enjoyed, really kind of blew us away. It was nicely hopped and wasn't like the old 90s version, 80s version of a Amber Ale. So they're doing some good things at that brewery.
Well, there's a beer here that I almost picked up at the beer store today called Lucifer's Cuvée. Dangerously devastating Lucifer's Cuvée is our double chocolate oatmeal stout. Intense hearty rye along with a decadent gourmet chocolate essence are balanced by the addition of Cascade hops, 8.4%. So that might be one I'd really like to pick up next time. So, yeah, I agree. I've heard great things. You know, this is one of those breweries that it's getting a very good reputation, and you'll find tap handles throughout the state from these guys. So hats off to Latitude 42. Keep up the good work, and we'll keep drinking. Uncle Pete, you got something to share with us this evening?
Sure do. Yep. I'm going to actually shy away from the Michigan brewery selection and actually go with a homebrew selection. Born in Michigan, an IPA that I had done. Kind of collaborated with my friends at the Ford Homebrewers Club from Ford Motor Company, the Fermental Order of Renaissance Draftsmen, FORD. And this one's been aged for a little bit. It's a barrel-aged East Coast IPA. It comes in at 9% ABV. We used Amarillo hops exclusively, both in the boil for bitterness and at the end of boil for aroma. And right now, the bottle that I'm opening was actually bottled nearly a year ago. It was February 29th of 2016. It went in the bottle, and we'll give it a taste here in a second. But I wanted to say a little bit about the ingredients and the process. You know, this was meant to be kind of a high ABV beer, and it did come out at 9%. An interesting part of the process is after we fermented for a week in the primary, we added 2 pounds of turbinado sugar, which is kind of like a raw crystal sugar. Kind of has almost a brown sugar look to it, but it really sweetened this beer up and it jacked the alcohol pretty good. So 1 week after fermentation, we put in a 5 gallon batch, 2 pounds of turbinado sugar, and left that in for the duration of the secondary and the aging in the barrel. We do have a rather well used oak barrel that the Ford Club has been using. And I've noticed over time that this barrel has actually, with age, has started to reveal a little bit of funkiness. And so I was pleasantly surprised, and actually it grew on me quite a bit to find, after we tried our first few of the beers from this batch out of the barrel, it had a mild funk going on, and it turned out, I thought it complemented it very well. So this thing aged in the barrel for about 4 months. I think we put it in November of 15, September of 15, and pulled it out in February. So that's about 4 months, I guess. October, November, December, January, four full months. And it's... let me just describe it. It poured well carbonated, a nice thick head, calmed down to a thin white head it's not going away. Very clear beer. I mean, after this a year old, right, sitting on the shelf, it's anything that was in it settled out real nice. So very clear amber color. And the aroma is very much on kind of a flowery. I get kind of I get oranges, a little bit of citrus and oranges, and just kind of flowery. A little bit of wood and definite hints of the sour in there. Take a little taste. It's kind of tart and sweet, very juicy. Orange flavor, very mild on the wood, not really any wood smoke in there. But on the back end, the funk sourness is really taking over and has a nice long-lasting effect on the palate. I think I've passed these along to you guys before. Do you recall having this one?
No, what's this? What's your little white label say on it?
Barrel-aged East Coast IPA.
No, I haven't had this one.
No, I haven't had this one either.
I am sorry about that one. If I dig around down there, maybe I could find a couple more. But I think with age, I mean, this was supposedly going to be high on the IBU scale with the amount of hops that we pitched in this thing. I think we had about 4 ounces of hops. Two at the beginning of the 90-minute boil, 2 ounces, and an ounce at 30 minutes, and an ounce at 15. So pretty high amount of hops. This thing was estimated to be around 80 IBU, but I'll tell you, after a year in the bottle, sitting down there in the cellar, it's if it had it before, it's dropped off by now. But nonetheless, the aroma is great. I think the Amarillo aroma with the orange and the flower bouquet comes through real nice. So I think the Ford Club did one more or two more batches in that barrel. And about a month ago, I think they actually took that barrel apart, and they're going to be getting a new one, a different one. So I'm sure there were dozens of batches over the years that they've done in that barrel, and I think it just reached the end of its life.
Well, I've brewed in a barrel. I purchased a barrel for the Downriver Brewers Guild. Which Pete, you're also in that. And we did, it was a fresh bourbon barrel when we got it. Actually the barrel we purchased was an 8-gallon rye whiskey barrel from a distillery in the state of Washington. And they say that really after one or two batches, from that point on, you can only do sours because the barrel, will automatically, it's naturally, inclined, it'll, you know, have the bugs in the wood will come out, and but it can enhance, great for like a Flanders red, or you know, something where you want to have a Brett beer where you want to have a little funkiness and sourness. So well, we quickly brewed two batches out of it and then never did anything with it, so it's a shame that it's only been used for two batches, and it's. But that was a learning experience for me. I never knew that. I figured, I actually tried to fill it up with some more whiskey and keep it active, but you have to rotate it. It's really a lot of work to keep it active. You know, you'd almost have to continuously use it until it runs its course. But
yeah,
when you're in a brew club like that, an active brew club that can constantly be putting stuff in and out of it, you can get a lot out of it. But after your first two batches, you're looking at there's going to be some sour funk.
Yeah, I think they got a little more mileage than two batches out of it, but I know in the end we were all noticing the last few batches had the funk, and no complaints from anybody really. I mean, it produced a good beer, you know, a beer with beers with nice color and nice flavors and nice characteristics. This East Coast IPA. We did use a Vermont IPA yeast, and we also used, in the grain, part of the grain bill, we used white wheat malt, and the majority was Maris Otter pale malt. So it has a nice body, and, it wasn't hazy really or anything, and I would do it again, but it would be interesting to see it in a fresh barrel and what it would taste like without the sour.
Well, you know what the good thing about it is, when you have those older barrels and you get a little bit of that funk going, normally an IPA is, you know, toast after 3 months, whereas these, you know, you actually can be excited about aging it. So not a bad thing at all, and it sounds to me like it, like you said, it complemented it nicely. And boy, I'd really love to try it. I hope you have another one. I hope you can dig one up. I'd love to taste it.
You're on. Okay.
Good description of that, and then a good lesson about, you know, using brewing with barrels. It's really a challenge. I mean, a lot of people think, oh, all you got to do is throw it in the barrel, but it's a lot of extra work for a brewer and a lot of extra time, and that's why you pay a lot more for barrel-aged beer, but boy, the rewards can be great if you do it right.
That's right.
And there's a lot of variables involved, as we know. Even the best of the best can have problems, as Goose Island did with last year's version of their bourbon barrel stout. You know, this didn't go well. And so, you know, you're always sort of dealing with an unknown when you're putting it into a situation like that.
Yep. Yeah, usually in your fermentation vessel, you know, sanitation is like the number one thing, right? And how do you manage inside of a oak barrel that you can't see the inside of, and, you know, you're trying to prepare it for a long-term fermentation and aging. So,
well, that's why that barrel is so good at the beginning, because the booze is in there, the liquor that was in there, you know, is keeping the bacteria in check. But once that's all extracted out, then all bets are off. But we love, you know, those of us here hosting the show today all love that spirit. So
that's right.
That's right.
You know, we ought to do that. We ought to do it, guys. We ought to chip in and get one and do a batch and do a couple batches. And it was really good having that on tap on my keyser for, you know, 3-4 months, that keg we had of that. And boy, was it tasty. Well, I think Dugout's next on the clock.
Sure.
Take her away, Doug.
All right. From our old friends at Short's Brewery, we have Hop Stash, which is it's a seasonal release. Apparently, in the past, it was only released summertime, but we are not summertime. And it is out in the stores now. Some very fresh stuff. I mean, this was just bottled a few weeks ago. And it's an American IPA. Runs about 6.7%, I think I saw, or close to 7%, and roughly about 85 IBUs. And it pours off sort of an orange gold and just a slight haze to it. It's not completely clear, but it's not hazy like the last beer I had, but that's supposed to be hazy. That's a New England IPA. This is not. This is I like to think Short's makes some pretty good Michigan IPAs. Some not West Coast, not East Coast, right in the middle. I mean, we've got our own IPAs going here, as does Ohio. There's definitely a Midwest IPA, and this happens to be one of them. This is brewed with grapefruit zest, and when you catch the aroma, you do get that kind of pink grapefruit smell to it. It's slightly grassy in the nose, a little bit of pine, and then kind of a little bit of red malt in it too. Head is nice on it, dissipates pretty normally, and then the taste is wow, you do get some real grapefruit here. Kind of a light malt, and the finish is dry but really strong with the pine finish. It's a lighter to medium body, and boy, I love this stuff. It's, you know, if you've ever had, say, a grapefruit sculpin, it's sort of along those lines, but definitely has its own unique flavor profile to it. I kind of think that if you were to blind taste test it, you would get that this is a Short's beer if you've had enough of Short's. It's definitely got their characteristic hop bitterness to it. Personally, I wish this were available year-round. I would always have this in the fridge, without a doubt. I think this is phenomenal. I was excited to see that it came out again. And, yeah, wow. I'm sure you guys have had this, right?
Yes. Yep. You described it very well. I had one recently, actually. So
it's one of my.
There's a number of pale ales that Shorts does that I was trying to find out. You know, them being a Michigan brewer, and I'm sure they have a lot of their own Michigan-sourced ingredients with Michigan hops and Michigan grains and all of that. And like you said, it's nice to have one of our own, you know what I mean, versus, oh, here's a West Coast, here's an East Coast, or whatever.
I mean, what I really enjoy about this is the finish on it. It's got a real citrus flavor to it without being overly citrus, you know, there's no overly lemon or orange juice characteristics. It's just perfect the way the grapefruit balances into the bitterness of the hops.
Well, it's one of my favorite beers from Shorts, and whenever it comes out, I always look for it. It's definitely one of the Shorts has so many offerings, and like every 2 or 3 weeks, there's a new one on the shelf here, and it's easy sometimes just to overlook stuff, but whenever I see Hopstash, I'm like, oh, Hopstash. There's like 4 or 5 of the ones that they come out every year. My other favorite is Freedom of 78.
Yeah.
That has the guava in it. There's 4 or 5 of them that, you know, automatically, if I see it, I'm picking it up.
Evil Urges.
And the Liberator we did just a few weeks back.
Well, maybe there's 5 or 10.
I know they've got dozens. Of course, we know they're prolific, right? They just
and Dan's Pink Skirt. That's another one that's just really a hoppy off the charts. And you know, our favorite. It's always in the house, always in the fridge. Humalupalicious. So these guys just do a really good job of IPAs. That's for sure. Yep. And their creativity in their willingness to experiment is always off the charts.
Well, there's always that reference to the stash too. And
yeah,
Joe Short with the characteristic curly Q mustache. I think a couple of their beers have reference to mustache, or a lot of the people on their labels are mustached.
Well, and you, Pete, you and I also are fans of the stash.
We're sporting the mustaches, that's right.
Not me, but another one, one of my favorites from them also is Ermagerd.
Ermagerd.
I haven't seen that one out in a while. And then, of course, And it just fell off the top of my tongue.
Well, another one that maybe
Superfluid.
Ah, Superfluid, yeah.
One of their double IPAs that I just think is phenomenal. Oh, the triple. Yep.
That wasn't too long ago we reviewed that. But one of my personal favorites, which not everybody might like, is Melt My Brain, the gin and tonic beer, brewed with coriander and juniper berries and lime.
Yeah, I like some of their stuff is just really, really interesting. And it's not for everybody.
But you know what? It's great living here in Michigan where, like I said, every 2 or 3 weeks you walk into the store and, oh, the new Shorts is out. What is it this time? And, you know, we get to do that almost every other week. You know, there's always something new from these guys, and some of them are awesome, and some of them, you know, you're probably going to pass on. They're not for everybody, but like that Melt My Brain, that's one of my favorites. I'm sure there's other people that don't care for it, but, you know, they're not afraid to think outside the box, and I love that about them. They reach for the stars.
Yeah, I think I was in the store this evening and saw, I think it was a S'more Stout. It must have just been released.
Oh, that's a brand new one that they've never had before, I believe, at least not in bottles.
And a couple of weeks ago, I saw, I think it was some kind of an Imperial Soft Parade version. I can't remember the name of it, but it was supposedly like Soft Parade on steroids. You know, it was really
jacked up. I think I know what you're talking about. Yes.
Came in a bomber.
I have that S'more Stout in my fridge. Not going to take up any time tonight reviewing it, but I enjoy going to the grocery store by my house because they have a really strong connection with Shorts, and it's sort of an off the radar kind of place to buy beer, so I can always get my fill of Shorts there, and they'll have stuff still in the long after other people have sold out, we'll still have stuff sitting there. So yeah. I really enjoy that aspect of grocery shopping there. I don't tell anybody what the name is because, oh, maybe a few friends, because then I'd ruin it.
Oh, keep it close to the vest. All right. Well, you're making me thirsty talking about Hopstash. So I'm real excited because I have a beer that I've never tried before from a brewery that I know all three of us really think highly of. So I'm going to go ahead and pop this. So as you can hear, it's a can, and it's from one of our favorite breweries, Black Rocks, up in the Upper Peninsula, the UP.
Oh, yeah.
Brewed by the Upers.
Oh, yeah. Love Black
Rocks. And this particular beer I've never had. It's called the Murray Project Imperial IPA, limited release 2017. So this is brand new, fresh. Again, Chris from Merchants recommended this when I told him we were going to talk about Michigan IPAs. So I'm even looking on the bottom. And this was brewed on January the 17th, which is roughly 2 weeks ago. So nice and fresh. So I'm pouring this thing at a really, really nice two-finger head. It's a little darker than the last one I had, but it's mostly clear. It's more of a dark orange. Pretty clear. Oh, really, really nice. You get a little biscuity sweet malt in the aroma and more of a sweeter fruit, like an orange juicy smell coming off of it. It's, I know I say this almost every time I smell something that smells good, but when it smells good, I can't wait to taste it. So I'm diving in. Wow. Wow, this is really, really good, guys. You're going to be running to the store to buy one.
I saw it.
Wow, it's a lot different than I expected. It has kind of the look of a West Coast IPA, but it's much sweeter and more fruity. It's got a really nice, tropical hops and a nice sweet malt, to back it up. So I'm sure there's some, it's loaded with IBUs, but it doesn't have that like hop bitter bite at the end. It's, there's enough sweet malt in there to really balance this. And I'm actually shocked because I can see that it says IBU is 100 plus. And I'm not smelling or tasting the bitterness that would normally indicate. But I can taste there's just, tons of hop glory in this thing. It's let me just slow down here and try to assess this beer a little bit better for you. Because I'm so excited I need to calm myself down. Yeah, really nice sweet malt, tropical fruit is more of an orange, tangerine orange, a little bit of pineapple. It does finish with hop bitterness now that I'm calming down a little bit and letting it rest on my palate. But I would have never guessed 100 IBUs on this thing. And they're there. The ABV is 9.2%. It is not boozy. This is a treat, guys. It's it's something that you should rush out and buy because I don't know I don't know if this is a one-off or what, but rush out and get yourself a four-pack of these because this is awesome. I'm kicking myself for only buying a single. I will be back to buy more of this. It's got a great, cool-looking label. It's looks kind of like navigation symbols, like if you're out on the probably Lake Superior or Lake Michigan. Way up there in Marquette, I guess that's Superior, isn't it?
Yes.
It's way up to the north. And what else is cool is I want to just read what they have here. First of all, it says availability, wild card. So that's kind of cool. Style, Imperial IPA, 9.2%. IBUs 100 plus. It says named after our mash tun, which has a giant Bill Murray headshot on it. The Murray Project is an explosion of bright tropical aromas with a malt profile that would have Goldilocks saying just right. I couldn't agree more. I mean, there's really nice sweet malt that complements all these hops, and
it's probably what it took, to balance that out. Jay Hart is a big malt, platform because with 100 plus, I mean. You would think that thing would just be, knocking you out.
Well, I'd say sweet, but it's malt sweet. It's not like sugar sweet. It's not cloying in any way, and it's just they've done a fantastic job balancing this thing, and it's like, you know, a lot of malt, a lot of hops, a lot going on, and they've done it. And they would, Bill Murray would be proud. It's in the hole. It's in the hole.
Well, you know, there's
Cinderella
sort of two schools of thought with IPAs, and probably the one that's more recent that you see more often is the alcohol levels being kicked up with dextrose or corn sugar in the boil, and then the other is to get your you know, your sugar levels up through the mash. And it sounds to me like they're doing it through the mash, because in those instances you get a sort of a really bread-like backbone to it, and then you really have to kick up the IBUs to sort of imbalance it out, so to speak, because most double IPAs are not balanced. They're heavier on the hop side, and that's just what the style is. But when you do a full mash and you're not adding in any corn sugar or any kind of yeast nutrients to build up the alcohol levels in it, you do need to kick those IBUs up really, really high.
Well, they've used a lot of ingredients in this, and the you know, the single was $2.99. Most singles are $1.99, so I think it's probably costs a little bit more, but that's because you got to use a lot of ingredients, and it's worth every penny. Just looking at the can, you know, one thing I see on here: always unfiltered, never pasteurized. There's another passage I see here. It says, "Note aromatic, big flavor. Release top latch. Pour into proper vessel. Enjoy thoroughly." These are in all this, you know, navigation symbols all over the can. And then there's a little note about Marquette and Black Rocks, saying the brewery is proud to call Marquette, Michigan, our home. Our name is inspired by the Black Rocks located just north of town, where natives and visitors have gathered to enjoy Lake Superior for generations. So I think we've all been there. I haven't been to the brewery in Black Rocks, but I've been to the UP in a... I can say that I show a video in the class that I teach about this brewery, and it was a video when they first started out in a house, and this little house, and you would never believe it was a brewery. It looks just like a residential house. But what's cool is when I logged onto their website to read what they said about the beer, there's just in really big letters on the front page of their website, it says, "We are the yellow house on the corner.
420
North 3rd Street Market."
They still are. And yeah, what a
fun, cool is that?
What a fun time. They have some great live music in there.
Yeah.
Believe almost every night there's live music. It's kind of an eclectic mix of some really different people. But yeah, what a great time. Very friendly. They don't serve food there, but they do have a food truck that pulls up into the parking lot. One cool thing is their parking lot is lined with all cross-country skis, because, you know, that's the Upper Peninsula. They get all the snow. There's all these trails for skiing. And, yeah, the fence is made out of skis. And they've got a production facility as well, a little bit on the, you know, just maybe about 7-8 blocks away. And I've been in there for a brewery release. And, you know, there's no tasting room in there. So that's just basically their production facility. But what a fun time. I mean, I can remember walking up to the brewery, and it's way kind of Marquette's on a hill, so the brewery's up, my hotel was down at the bottom of the hill, and I had to walk up to the brewery on the top of the hill, and man, by the time I got there, I was definitely needing a beer, but going home, it was a lot faster and easier.
Oh boy, a little wheezy at the top of the hill.
Yeah.
Well, wheezy on the way, easy going down. Oh boy. Yeah, highly recommended in my opinion as well. I got it. If you have a chance to go to Black Rocks and try their beers, John, their review of this one sounded fantastic. So I saw some on the shelf here at my local shop, so I might have to pick me up a 4-pack.
Picking myself.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep my eye open for that. I should be able to find something.
Yeah, I don't know how long it's gonna last, and it says 2017. It's 2 weeks old. I'm going out tomorrow looking for more of this. It is that good. And you know, for everybody else, if you get up to the UP, make the trip to the Marquette. It's in God's country. It's in the middle of nowhere. But you know, if you find the yellow house on the corner, it'll be a nice walk down the hill when you're done. I can guarantee that. Well, before we wrap this show up, I wanted to mention, we'll go around to each of us and do some honorable mentions, but no Michigan IPA show would be complete if we didn't at least mention some of the beers that we've already reviewed on the show and we chose not to taste tonight. And, of course, the first one that comes to mind for me is the Bell's Two Hearted Ale, one of the iconic, probably the my favorite IPA. When I first moved to Michigan, I remember going to like the movies and I was going to get a Diet Coke until I saw that they had Two Hearted Ale on tap. And it's just a legendary, an IPA that we kind of take for granted here because we can get it everywhere. But anybody that's ever had one knows what I'm talking about.
Absolutely. It's a standard.
It's a treasure that we're fortunate to have. And there's another beer that I have in front of me that I was thinking about sampling tonight, but I'm going to pass. But it's the coveted Hop Slam, which comes out every year, and it's Hop Slam season here. I believe we've probably reviewed this before, but worth mentioning. Always. A great thing after New Year's, a week or two into the year, the Hop Slams start showing up and the first couple deliveries disappear in an hour, within an hour or two. And then fortunately, Bell's is kind enough to us locally here in Michigan to send out a couple different batches. So, it's a 10% double India pale ale with honey. So similar to the beer I just had that's balanced with a lot of malt. The honey helps balance the intense hoppiness in this beer, but it's another legend from Bell's. So those two Bell's beers are what I'm going to just make sure that don't go unchecked. So I'll pass the baton off to you, Dugout. Any beers that you'd like to mention that we weren't able to?
Oh, sure. I mean, there's so many. I already had mentioned Humalupalicious, but there's Drippa from Kunin, phenomenal double IPA. There's anything from Founders. We didn't even mention Founders.
Oh, yeah.
Centennial IPA, Azaka IPA, All Day IPA. They have quite a few. And then there's a few places down in the southwest corner there, in Bridgman and Sawyer. As far as the one in Bridgman, just doing phenomenal IPAs. Some East Coast style IPAs and
Transient.
Transient, that's them. And I see Haymarket has just moved in from Chicago into Bridgman, Michigan as well. But so many Mad Hatter from New Holland. I think they reformulated that. That's pretty stellar now. We've done shows on just entire cities in Michigan on the beers there.
Yeah,
we could do shows in Grand Rapids and just Grand Rapids IPAs and have a whole series of shows.
Oh, and
there's just so much.
We will do that.
That sounds fun.
Uncle Pete, don't you have a brother named Benjamin that you might want to introduce?
Brother Benjamin? I was
gonna, Brother Benjamin.
Benny and the Jets.
Brother Benjamin.
I was. I know we mentioned quite a few, and I'll just keep the party going. I mean, Dark Horse, Crooked Tree. I think you were just there recently, right, JR? A couple days ago. Norm's Raggedy Ass from Griffin Claw.
Good one.
Stuff like that.
Brother Benjamin. I was trying to throw you a bone.
Greenbush.
Greenbush. Yeah. Brother Benjamin is another. A lot of people say it's. It competes with Hop Slam. It's got honey in it as well, and a lot of people say it's as good or better than Hop Slam, and it's a great debate to have because they're both great.
Greenbush has several, too. They got the Star Chicken Shotgun that I like.
Yep.
Perrin, of course, has this past summer. I know I drank a lot of IPAs from Perrin.
99 problems?
98 problems or 99 no problems or So we're not at any shortage for great American IPAs, Midwest IPAs, if you want to characterize them that way. And of course, all these great breweries in Michigan are trying their hand at all the East Coast and West Coast IPAs and all the juicy IPAs. So we're blessed and we're lucky.
Old Nation 43, M43.
Yeah, that's a latest one. That's, oh man, everybody's
ready. Keep it on the shelf. Old Nation M43 hit the shelves at 8 Degrees Plato in Detroit a couple days ago or a week ago, and I was planning to take a trip up there, and the next morning, it was delivered like at 4 in the afternoon one day. It went on sale at 6, and by the next morning, when I called to see if they had any left, it was gone. So don't blink, you'll miss it. But what a great problem to have. We have all these great breweries making so many good beers that we can't keep them on the shelf. So kudos to our Michigan brewers.
That's right.
And well, Pete, you're one of them, because the beer you had tonight is probably right up there.
It's up there in my book. I love, you know, I can only remember one that I've actually drain poured. And it was because I just put too much stuff in it. You know what I mean? Too many flavors, too many this and that, whatever I had on hand, and I got a little too wild. So I've dialed back, and you know, once you get a little restraint and you just pay attention to the details, it's pretty easy to make good beer. As both of you gentlemen do too. I got to compliment you both on your homebrews.
Well, I think the issue I'm having is I haven't brewed in a while, so it's supposed to get in the 50s this week. I think it's going to happen.
Well, I've got maybe about a day or so left in on the carbonation end of things, but I have a New England style IPA of my own that I brewed, and came in at about close to 9%. I had a little bit of sampling off it. It needs a little maturation too in the cooler. So it might be a few more than a couple days away, but we're going to have some for Super Bowl Sunday. It's quite the hot bomb. First glass I poured off it, all those hops had sort of settled to the bottom and filled into the cup, and I felt like I was chewing on a pine cone. It was intense.
Wow. I guess if you're a squirrel, you might like that.
That should be the name. I think that should be the name of the beer, Chewing on a Pine Cone.
Chewing on a Pine Cone? Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be a great beer name. Chewing on a Pine Cone.
Perfect.
It is dope.
Consider it done.
All right, do we want to go through beers of the week, brewery of the week? What's your thoughts on that?
I don't think we really need to. I mean, these are sort of handpicked of our breweries and beers of the week, if you will.
Well, I kind of like what we did last week, where we just said your beer of the brewery of the week is your local brewery.
Absolutely.
And so it's Michigan beer. So
then my brewery of the week is Black Lotus, because that's right at the end of the street.
Oh, well, you're leaving Pete and I in a bad situation. So what I'm going to do is say my brewery of the week is Uncle Pete's Garage.
All right.
I'll have to reciprocate on that one,
JR. JR's garage.
My garage, your garage, our garages.
Dugout is more strategically located for the breweries than we are. There's a few local breweries here, and not to. If you don't have anything nice to say, you don't say anything. So,
well, what we need to say is we need more of them down this way. So,
we need a brewery to open near us. Is really what happens. There's not much around us. So,
let me get out of the rat race, JR, and you and I can join forces and
amen.
Get the elbow grease going, and we'll get a brewery going down here.
We'll take the bull by the horns, and where there's a void, we can fill it.
Yep, that's how they start.
So cheers to everybody. We're not going to really name a beer of the week or the brewery of the week, because you're local. Any closing comments, guys? I think it's time to go to Mexico, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great to be together.
It is.
I really enjoyed being together with you guys tonight.
Amen.
Yeah, so, likewise.
Chris, we miss you, but we'll drink one for you. And for everybody else, I don't have quite the edit this out. I don't know what to say. For everybody else, follow us on at Beer Nuts Podcast on Twitter and at MichiganBeerGuy.com, at MichiganBeerGuy on Twitter, Beer Nuts Podcast on Facebook, and ChristopherMedia.net. So,
as they say in old Mexico City,
AMF.
If you enjoy this show and want more people to know about it, head on over to iTunes, leave a comment, and rate it 5 stars. Make sure you like and share us on Facebook, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter. Just search for Christopher Media. Thank you in advance for supporting Christopher Media by clicking on the PayPal button and by clicking through to all the sponsors who support ChristopherMedia.net. Most importantly, we would like to take the time to extend an extra special thanks to you. Christopher Media could not exist without your support. Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net, and thank you for listening. Christopher Media. Let's make some noise. Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.